to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Easter Sunday, April 1st, 2018, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
No sermon today. April Fools. Yeah. Please be seated. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. I have another guilty pleasure besides terrible jokes, and that is watching HGTV. I really like all those home renovation shows, but my favorite show is Property Brothers. The plot is always the same. A couple is looking to buy a fabulous house. First, one brother, Drew, shows them their perfect dream home, but it is always way out of their budget. Then they look at fixer-uppers, homes that are often in terrible shape, but which the Property Brothers know have potential. The couple reluctantly buys the dingy house, and then the rest of the show is the other brother, Jonathan, transforming it into their dream home. I was trying to figure out why I like this show so much, and all those home renovation shows. I think it's because I'm in awe of the vision of those experts. They see beyond the grime and the old linoleum and the small cramped rooms. They see the hidden beauty and potential. Knock out a wall here, rip out the flooring there, put in new fixtures, and voila. I am so impressed because that is not a gift that I have. I can see what is there, not what could be there. This ability to see is at the heart of our Easter story. During the coming weeks, we will be hearing many of the stories of Jesus' resurrection appearances to the disciples. Next week is always Doubting Thomas, then the appearance to the 12, the Emmaus story, and more. All of the resurrection appearances share a common problem, however. People have trouble seeing and recognizing Jesus. And yet, seeing Jesus is essentially what it means to be a Christian. Peter, in his sermon in Acts today, says that he and the other apostles are able to testify because we are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. That seeing Jesus is what gives them their identity. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, sums up the faith in this passage, which emphasizes the reality of the resurrection and that Jesus appeared first to Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. St. Paul's credentials as an apostle rest on seeing Jesus. Seeing was essential to Jesus' earthly ministry as well. He had unique vision and sight. He was able to see past the limitations of the 12 disciples, to see their potential and develop it through his mentorship, to prepare them for their ministry after his resurrection. He was also able to see the dignity and humanity and worth in people on the margins, Jewish, Samaritan, and even Gentile women, off limits for a good Jewish man, prostitutes, tax collectors, children, the sick, the blind, the poor, even the religious leaders and Roman soldiers who crucified him, and the thief who was crucified next to him. Jesus saw with the eyes of his Father, the same God who chose David so long before, the youngest and least likely son of Jesse, because the Lord does not see as mortals see, They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. When the women came to the tomb that first Easter, they were not looking for Jesus, at least not Jesus alive. They were looking in the wrong place and worried about the wrong things. They were worried about how to move the heavy stone away from the tomb and probably whether they had everything they needed to prepare Jesus' body for burial. They came expecting death, and that's what they were looking for. Easter morning was a shock, to say the least. They met a stranger who told them they were looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing. Jesus is not dead but alive, and he has gone ahead of you to Galilee. Why are you looking here? It's there you will see him. You know, it's striking that in this Easter gospel, there's no joy. There's shock and amazement and even fear. What's going on? But remember, they have not yet seen Jesus. The joy, the transformation comes from seeing him. Don't look in the wrong place. Don't look in the tomb. Don't look backwards. Instead, look forwards. Look for him in Galilee, out in the world. He is there ahead of you. This is still the challenge for the church today and for us. We are pretty good at looking backwards. Hindsight, as they say, is 20/20. We are comfortable with our traditions and rituals. We expect to find Jesus in the familiar confines of the church, in these comforting and familiar prayers and hymns, and he is here to be sure. The great blessing of the sacraments is that Jesus promises to meet us here in them. But Jesus is also outside these hallowed walls, outside our most beautiful traditions, outside our most impressive sermons and theology. He has gone ahead of us into Galilee. He is still going ahead of us into the dangerous, unpredictable world full of constant change and uncertainty and risk. The grave cannot contain him, but neither can we. And our challenge is to go out and look for him, to have our eyes opened and our vision expanded, to see him in people who have never met him or know how to call on him, to see him in Rochester and Detroit and Washington, D.C., and Tehran and Moscow and Pyongyang, and even in our irritating next-door neighbor. To see him at work in movements for social justice and peace and reconciliation. To see him in the very young and the very old and everybody in between. To see him in refugees and immigrants seeking safe harbor, in families suffering domestic abuse or alcohol or opioid addiction. To see him in firefighters, police officers, and EMTs, in soldiers far from home, in medical professionals and researchers working tirelessly to fight disease, in missionaries and aid workers far and near seeking to end global poverty and malnutrition. To see him in every small act of kindness and generosity and humble service. Can you see him there? All it takes is the vision of faith to open our eyes. Because there is no part of this world, no part, that is not filled with the presence of Jesus, our risen Lord. He is hidden in plain sight underneath all the ugliness and brokenness and sin that he died to redeem. To follow Jesus is not to turn away from the world, to give up on the world, but to see it and love it and serve it as Jesus did and does. Last of all, and hardest of all, can you see Jesus in yourself? Because he dwells there too. You are the home he came to renovate, to transform. Do you sometimes feel like a fixer-upper? Can you only see the cracks and dust and old linoleum? Well, what Jesus sees is a mansion prepared for himself, full of the glory and beauty of God's creation. To see the risen Christ there is to allow yourself to become a witness, just like Peter and the first apostles, and like them to be transformed into a powerful agent for God's grace and transforming love to spread far and wide, to go out into the world and to see Jesus there ahead of you. Amen.